We may never see another investigation on the scale and scope of the church investigation.
Do you think that the CIA and military intelligence agencies and the FBI have used the emergency provisions, both in law and by emergency agency, to have contingency plans which threaten the liberty of American citizens?
The United States government has perfected a technological capability. At the same time, that capability at any time could be turned around on the American people. There would be no place to hide. The technological capacity that the intelligence community has given the government could enable it to impose total tyranny.
I mean, this Crooks kid that did this, that shot at the president, what happened?
I don't think the CIA is doing anything quite like MKUltra anymore.
Why do you think that?
I think you had the Church Commission hearings in the late 70s, and somehow things got exposed, and then when a bureaucracy is forced to be formalized.
After the Allied victory in Europe of World War II on May 8, 1945, the Office of Strategic Services, the intelligence agency formed during World War II, conducted Operation Paperclip, a program in which over 1,500 Nazi German scientists, technicians, and engineers were smuggled into the United States. President Truman's order concerning Operation Paperclip expressly excluded anyone even remotely associated with the Nazi Party. However, the Joint Intelligence Objectives Agency, a subcommittee of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, expunged from public record all Nazi Party affiliations in regards to the German scientists. From this exodus of evil sprung a variety of mind control operations. The Central Intelligence Agency succeeded the Office of Strategic Services during World War II as a result of the National Security Act of 1947. Which granted the CIA no police or law enforcement functions either at home or abroad to coordinate secret espionage activities against the Axis powers for the branches of the United States Armed Forces. Secretly, Project Chatter was conducted in order to identify agents synthetic and natural that could enhance interrogation. Project Bluebird experimented with the possibility of using humans as mind-controlled warfare agents. CIA Director Alan Dulles was quoted as complaining that they did not have enough human guinea pigs to try these extraordinary techniques. Thus, officially, the MKUltra project was sanctioned in 1953. The project received over $25 million and involved hundreds of experiments on human subjects at 80 different institutions.
I give the CIA a total credit for sponsoring and initiating the entire consciousness movement, counterculture events of the 1960s.
Human experimentation on the U.S. population finally creeped into the public eye when, in the summer of 1975, Congressional Church Committee reports revealed to the public for the first time that the CIA and the Department of Defense had conducted experiments on both unwitting and cognizant human subjects as part of a huge program to control human behavior through the use of psychoactive drugs.
I'm Chris D. Nicola, born July of 1962, rendering me 32 years of age. I was a subject in radiation as well as mind control and drug experiments performed by a man I knew as Dr. Green. All these experiments were performed on me in conjunction with mind control techniques and drugs in Tucson, Arizona. He often tied me down in a cage, which was near his office. Between 1972 and 1976, he and his assistants were sometimes careless and left the cage unlocked. Whenever physically possible, I snuck into his office and found files with reports and memos addressed to CIA and military personnel.
Recent declassified documents reveal the CIA's interrogation tests involving one of their own unwitting agents with an AI computer. This virtual interrogator from 1983 paved the way to carry out AI chatbot interviews with an unknowing public. The techniques of interrogation, control, and mental manipulation have brought into the modern world.
A limited edition, exclusive InfoWars proprietary 24-karat .999 pure gold collectible is now available. In this credit card size package, laminated with original InfoWars art, This is a memento to remind you of the fact that you kept InfoWars on the air at a critical time. We could do a straight-up donation drive, and we may have to do one, but this is basically the same thing as donating. You just get this collectible as a thank you from us for what you're doing. So please take action. Get yours right now at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. We cannot stay on the air without your support. This is a collectible, and it is a beautiful piece of gold, a little bar that symbolizes your support of the InfoWar. I humbly ask you to take action and make the decision to keep us on air, because this is your chance to keep InfoWars on the air at a critical juncture in the fight for our republic.
In the darkness of censorship, Owen Schroyer is the light. This is the War Room. Watch it live right now at AmericanElection.news.
So there's all kinds of reasons why we're seeing the markets collapse. And I'm gonna discuss what the U.S. policy should be in the midst of all this chaos. And it's really a no-brainer. It's not left or right. It's really just survival instinct and pro-peace is what it would be. And so I'll get into that. And it ties in to what's going on in the UK now with just total chaos. Some are calling it civil war. But what did you expect to happen when you have what is essentially a cultural invasion, a foreign invasion, no assimilation, no appreciation of country or culture, and then once you cross a certain threshold, that's what you get. That's what you get. And so there's standoffs in the streets, there's looting, it's total chaos. So you kind of see both sides of it, where is this the equivalent of Black Lives Matter for white people burning and looting and destroying their own hometown? But then on the other side, what is the result? What is the decision process when you see your cities get turned over, your cultures get turned over, but then really the Rubicon is when women are getting raped and murdered in the streets, and it's coming from these migrant groups. And then there's no legal recourse, there's no political recourse. But see, it all ties in. It all ties into the same thing of we have to make smarter foreign policy decisions. We have to make smarter domestic policy decisions, and we should have seen this coming, or rather, the UK should have seen this coming. But there's a level of it that is, of course, by design, and we'll get into that. But let's talk about the headline story. Ukraine confirms F-16s have arrived in country as Zelensky heralds new chapter in fight against Russia. A new chapter. Isn't that wonderful? How can F-16s help Ukraine fight Russia? Well, they really can't. It's not like this is an overwhelming fleet here. It's not like it's something that the Russians couldn't handle. I don't know the logic, quite frankly, from this administration. I'm not sure if it exists at this point. We do have an appearance from Joe Biden today. Folks, the guy is gone. He's gone. If he is making, I'm not sure what's better, Joe Biden making decisions or Joe Biden not making decisions. So I don't know who's making decisions. But if it's Biden, that's bad. If it's not Biden, it's bad. So it's bad either way. It would appear the only reason why the U.S. would send F-16s to Ukraine is to keep the boondoggle going, to keep the money laundering going, to keep the war going. And then, I mean, maybe to try to escalate to try to instigate Russia? Ukraine can't fly these jets. And this fleet of jets might be good for a skirmish, might be good for a mission, and that'll probably be it. This isn't some overwhelming force that's going to change the course of this war. This isn't some breakneck moment where now Ukraine has the upper hand. Please. So why is this World War III, according to Joe Biden? Well, it's don't ask me. I have to ask Joe Biden, because he's the one that said this in 2022. This was from March 2022, guys. Go ahead.
Look, the idea that we're going to send in offensive equipment and have planes and tanks and trains going in with American pilots and American crews, just understand and don't kid yourself, no matter what you all say, that's called World War III. Okay? Let's get it straight here, guys.
All right, so let's get it straight. According to Joe Biden, sending F-16s to Ukraine is World War III. Well, they have just sent F-16s to Ukraine. So what do you call that? Is that World War III, Joe? Did you make that decision, Joe? Who made that decision? That's called World War III. Biden defends decision not to send jets to Ukraine. So that's just over 2 years ago. My, what a change of policy. What changed your mind? Who's going to fly the jets? Who's training people to fly the jets? What is the end goal here? Oh, no, we don't get that asked and answered. We just get Joe Biden saying it's World War III if we send F-16s to Ukraine. And then today, F-16 fighter jets land in Ukraine. And Zelensky, of course, is up there praising it. Barely can see over the podium. A garden gnome who has never worn a suit or tie in his life, except when he's doing gay dance routines for Ukrainian television. Then he wears the suit and tie. But when he's the president of Ukraine during a wartime, he can't find a suit and tie. He's got a t-shirt and a hoodie. Even when he's addressing our Congress. So that's World War III, according to Joe Biden. So Joe Biden, according to his own logic, just started World War III. The media is totally silent, by the way. Nobody condemning this. Nobody asking questions. Nobody demanding a press conference. Joe Biden comes out today for a short address. Nothing gets mentioned. Nothing gets brought up. He can barely even talk. But it's World War III, according to Joe Biden. And that's just half the picture. U.S. sending reinforcements to the Middle East. U.S. sends more fighter jets and ships to the Middle East ahead of possible Iranian retaliation. So the Biden administration is escalating in Ukraine. The Biden administration is escalating in the Middle East. Meanwhile, your cost of living is going up. Basic border security doesn't exist. And the Democrats just nominated Kamala Harris, who didn't receive a single vote. But the American press sees nothing wrong with any of that. The American media, the Richter scale of this news is just not even registering to them. Not even registering. So here's Biden today as the stock market tanks. Well, maybe it's worth mentioning. Yeah, the stock market is in the red. But you know who's doing awfully well? The weapons manufacturers and contractors. Oh, yeah. Congratulations if you had stock in Lockheed Martin today. I got to say, congratulations to you. You have done well. So the entire market is red, not Lockheed Martin. I wonder what Raytheon looks like, too. or Gunthrop Northman, you know, just the weapons manufacturers and contractors. So if you got it, but I just happen to have Lockheed Martin on my desk. Let's see what else. Yeah, Lockheed doing well. Oh, no, even Northrop is down. What about Raytheon, guys? Northrop barely down compared to the rest of the market. It's really just flat. But Lockheed, whew, even Raytheon is down. That's okay. So Raytheon, so they've barely, they're basically flattening. But Lockheed over this weekend, whew, everything else tanking, Lockheed skyrocketing. And now it's flat. So the weapons manufacturers went up this last 4 days, but now they're just kind of flattening. So what does that tell you? What does that tell you? The stock market is collapsing, but not the weapons manufacturers. Not the weapons contractors. Those stocks are holding nicely. So here's Biden. He makes an appearance today. Again, he's just given up. They've just given up. And he's not running for president anymore, so I guess it's done. They don't even try to pretend like he's not just worse for the wear. So here's low-energy Biden. They don't even hop him up on the drugs anymore, folks. Trying to blame Trump. Trying to blame Trump for the economy today, clip one.
And now, my predecessors like to say, America is a failing nation. In my face, bless me, Father, for his sin. I mean, come on.
Why is that
failing
funny?
Nation. And by the way, did you hear he wants to see the stock market crash? Because he does not want it now. We're doing well. He acknowledged it. By that, we're doing pretty damn well economically and getting better. He wants to see the stock market crash. You know why? He doesn't want to be the next Herbert Hoover. As I told him, he's already Hoover. He's the only president to be president for 4 years and lose jobs, not gain any jobs. Come on, man. You know, some of the things he said, well, I don't get started. But look, frankly, to put it very politely, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Wow, moving. A moving delivery. By the way, that's at the Internet Infrastructure Conference there. Guys, remember the story? The Biden administration committed some billions of dollars to internet infrastructure. They put Kamala Harris in charge of it, and not a single high-speed fiber optics Ethernet cable was laid. Not one. Bueller. Billions of dollars, zero fiber optic cables. Billions of dollars, Kamala Harris in charge, no internet. None. Hey, the media is not going to bring that up during the Joe Biden internet accessibility speech. Why would they? Joe doesn't even know where he is. And now the duty is to fluff up Kamala. Yeah, February 2023. Vice President Harris announces progress in lowering internet costs for families, funding to expand high-speed internet access. They didn't expand anything. They spent a bunch of money. Where'd the money go? Where did the money go? But yes, it's Trump's fault. Biden bureaucracy derails high-speed internet across country. Oh, darn it. Hey, it didn't stop him with the cancellation of student loan debt, which was illegal. But it's Trump's fault, guys. Trump's fault the economy is collapsing. Not Biden's fault sending military assistance into the Middle East, sending F-16s to Ukraine, allowing a coup to take place and Kamala Harris to become the nominee. None of that has to do with it. Stopping energy production. None of that has anything to do with it. It's Trump, don't you know? Trump did this. Trump. What are we going to do about that inflation? What are we going to do? So it's like they can't deny there's inflation, but then they tell you it's the greatest economy ever. Maybe Kamala has a plan, though. Kamala, what is your plan to fix inflation? Clip three.
What else are you going to do to fix this problem with inflation?
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, let's start with this. Prices have gone up. Mm-hmm. And families and individuals are dealing with the realities that bread costs more, that gas costs more.
Right.
And we have to understand what that means. That's Cold about inflation. The cost of living going up.
Yes.
That's about having to stress and stretch limited resources.
Yeah, we get that. What's the solution?
That's about a source of stress for families that is not only economic, but is on a daily level, something that is a heavy weight to carry. So it is
so
something
economic.
That we take very seriously. Very seriously. And we know from the history of this issue in the United States that when you see these prices go up, it has a direct impact on the quality of life for all people in our country.
Oh,
so it's a big issue, and we take it seriously. And it is a priority, therefore.
Wow. So what was the solution again? You're taking it seriously. Got you. That's the solution. You're taking it seriously. Oh, Kamala becomes the nominee and the stock market crashes? I mean, with genius like that, I don't get it. How could it? You'd think people would be so confident now that Kamala could potentially be president. You'd think people would know that the genius, the economic fortitude of one Kamala Harris, you'd think that that would be confidence to build the stock market. No, but it tanked. I just don't get it. Completely avoids the question. These people are completely out of their minds. I wonder, from my analysis, the propaganda isn't working. And yet it's prevalent. And I got another example of this. But you know, let's just see how committed they are to this. This is Nancy Pelosi on 60 Minutes over the weekend. I don't know how many bottles of wine it takes to reach this conclusion. Your guess is as good as mine. Nancy Pelosi on 60 Minutes, clip four.
In a good place to make whatever decision, top of his game. Such a consequential president of the United States, a Mount Rushmore kind of president of the United States.
Are
want to
really
know what comes next.
That he belongs up there on Mount Rushmore. What? Lincoln and Joe Biden.
But you got Teddy Roosevelt up there, and he's wonderful. I don't say take him down, but you can add Biden.
Biden on Mount Rushmore, according to Nancy Pelosi. I mean, come on. Two bottles of wine? What are we thinking here, guys? Four? And a carton of ice cream? But imagine Leslie Stahl up there, who sits there and will harangue Donald Trump when he says that they spied on him, and barely even bats an eye when Kamala Harris says Joe Biden belongs on Mount Rushmore. But think about what she says at the end of it. She says, well, y'all, Teddy Roosevelt is up there. Well, what does she admit? So what's her point? Is that because he was a Democrat and Lincoln was a Republican? So she's like, hey, you know, there's already a Democrat, so a Democrat can be up there. Yeah, Lincoln was a Republican. What is even her point with that? I don't know. Do you think Leslie got to partake in some of the wine beforehand? These are not serious people. So I'm wondering, how does this propaganda affect the American people? And I've got some other examples of this as well. But here's a real-world example. And again, I've talked about this before, and so don't be mad at me. But I have been tuning into the Olympics passively. I've had it on my screens at home, and I get it if you boycott it. I'm in the media. I'm here to report the news, so I'm watching it for news perspectives. And so Kamala, the Harris campaign, has been running ads during the Olympics. They're running about every hour on the hour. And the ad, and this is where it gets crazy. You would think that Kamala's opponent, Donald Trump, is the incumbent. You would think that she's running against the current administration. Because in this ad, she claims that there's a bad economy that she's trying to fix. She claims that there's open borders that she's trying to fix. She claims that there's a people don't trust have safety, trust in public safety that she's going to fix. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, what? You're in charge. You're running against yourself. The economic problems, you caused them. The education problems, you caused them. The safety and security problems, you caused them. The open border, you caused it. But really the one that I think sticks out is how they're running these ads and she's saying how she's fighting for a better economy. The economy's in a bad place, but she's going to fix it. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe people catch on that she's basically running against herself in this phenomenon of an ad. Or are the American people going to be offended by that as they should be? That should be offensive to the American people. Because I hear that and I think, well, wait a second. I'm still paying more for gas. I'm still paying more for energy costs. I'm still paying more on the grocery bill. And that's just, you don't have to be into politics or news to understand that. Border, education, safety, you know, maybe these are a little more wonky. But I mean, money, it's the economy, stupid. Everybody sees their grocery bill. Everybody sees the price at the pump. Everybody sees their energy bill. That's not political. That's the real world. So I'm curious. Americans seeing this ad from Kamala Harris saying, oh, the economy's in bad shape. I'm going to fix it. Like, are they offended that the Harris campaign thinks you're stupid? That, oh, you don't realize she's the one in the White House? Like, she's running against herself here? She's running against the problems that she caused? That should offend the average American. But I'm watching this, and then there's another thing that's worth mentioning. Have not seen a single Trump ad. And I just don't get that. I just do not get that at all. What is the RNC doing? What is the GOP doing? How are you not running ads during the Olympics? How are you letting the Harris campaign control the narrative and the political ad space during the Olympics? There is no excuse for that. I don't care what excuse you're coming up with in your head right now. I don't care what strategy decision you think is being made in this. Big F. Big, fat, stinking F. It doesn't even have to be a pro-Trump ad. You just run an ad, pay the extra juice to have it run after her ad, and say, here's the cause. You know, Kamala Harris wants to campaign on the economics, but here's economics under Kamala Harris, and show the price increase in food, the price increase in gas, the price increase in electricity down the line. And you're just going to let the Democrats dominate that ad space with 92 days till the election and all these eyes on the TV? It doesn't even have to be anti-Trump. Don't even mention Trump. Just show all the negative policies from Harris. So I don't get that at all. And this RNC leadership has been a lot better than the previous leadership. We'd all agree with that. But not running ads during the Olympics, big fat failure. Horrible.
I do believe that we have a trifecta pandemic going on. We have monkeypox, of course, that they say it's coming. We have COVID, like the flirt virus of COVID right now. It's everywhere. People are calling me. People are getting sick. COVID, flu, bird flu, and all these other ones that they are talking about, those are RNA viruses. And because they are RNA viruses, they are sensitive to zinc. So zinc needs quercetin to enter the cell. I can't believe that in 2024, you're still in a position where you can get a serious disease from COVID, end up with COVID lung symptoms, and possibly die. So please, just listen to me. Go on drstellamd.com, do a telemedicine appointment, get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin in your medicine cabinet today. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. People call me to get them out of the hospital. And once you're in the hospital, we cannot help you. And also, with the hydroxychloroquine too, you can also get the zinc and quercetin. So my advice for people right now, for a family, if you want to like build defense for your family, is to get Covivites, to get the Pox Defense. And if you have children, get the immunovites for children because it has zinc, it has elderberry. So this is what we're calling right now the Trifecta Family Pack. So you get the immune defense for your family, you get your defense against pox, you get defense against, build your immunity against COVID, against bird flu and dengue and all these other RNA viruses. So my advice, please listen to me. Go on our website, drstellamd.com. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. We have physicians licensed in, we have physicians that can prescribe in all 50 states, and we have pharmacies that will ship to all 50 states. So please, before something gets really crazy, get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin in your medicine cabinet today. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. For monkeypox, bird flu, like I call the trifecta, pox, bird flu, and COVID. If you get pox defense and COVIDites, that should help you. We have it on our website. If you also get, for you know, some people take COVIDite. COVIDite is like our bestseller. I love it. I take it every day. If you get COVIDite and pox defense, these two should be able to cover all the viruses. If you're taking COVIDites, this is all you need. If you're the person that takes COVIDite, you just need COVIDite and this. This should be able to cover because it has quercetin, it has zinc, it has vitamin D. You have everything that you need to build your immunity. That is my cry. Don't wait till you get sick. We have a slew of other vitamins and everything on our website. We have medicinal herbs that can help deal with all kinds of stuff. So my job right now to the American people is to make sure that you're prepared, you're medically prepared. I've been saying it for a while that we're going to have a disruptive event, and it's coming. If you notice, these globalists, they want agenda 2030, it's on track, or in their mind, it's on track. They want by 2025 for all of us to be digitalized. I said it from the beginning in 2020 that COVID was a Trojan horse for the vaccine. And the vaccine is Trojan horse. It's a Trojan horse for transhumanism, population control, genetic modification. I've said that over and over. And I think that right now in 2024, patriots, listen to me. Everybody should be aware of this. Like I said, if you can get quercetin, if you can get hydroxychloroquine, if you can get ivermectin from your doctor or from wherever, I am pretty much good with it. We put this together to help you, but I just want you to get it. Get it in your head that we are at a time when they want to destroy humanity. And because they're going to try to destroy humanity, we have to be prepared. Only those that are paranoid, that are prepared, would survive. So that is my pledge, and that is what we do. Your pledge is to make sure that you prepare you and your family. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
What did I tell you? Control every facet of the media. Now that he has launched his video game, he will be able to fund his larger operation in InfoWar Counter Allies. And then he will have more video games and then children's toys. And freedom is so popular. Look at what they've done when we shut down Tucker Carlson. He got 50 times better. We tried to bully Joe Rogan.
Reports that, but it is what it is. Israel is just the latest. And it's new, and it's happening right now in front of our face, so it's televised.
But we have to protect Ukraine because the bigger guy is coming in to take out the little guy.
Yeah.
And so we have to protect Israel because the... I'm sorry. I got confused. There was no logical consistency there. You know, Ben Shapiro is kind of in the low-hanging fruit in all of this, and that's fine.
He's really exposed himself.
But really, he has.
A lot of people have.
A lot of people have, but like, I agree. Shapiro's kind of low-hanging fruit with all this. But, you know, here's the attitude that I see. There was this news... A senior State Department official has publicly resigned from his position, citing his opposition to the continued lethal assistance the U.S. government is providing to Israel. So this is obviously a Democrat, a leftist in the political ideology. And Shapiro says, good, get out. Well, okay, he's a member of the media, so whatever. But this is the attitude that many members of our government have. It's like if you're anti-war, somehow that makes you anti-Semitic. If you're anti-war in Ukraine, that means you're pro-Putin. That is the most low-level intelligence. I mean, that's like one-dimensional kindergarten thinking.
The good news is that that used to work very well a while ago. Back in 9/11 days, that type of rhetoric, it worked brilliantly. And if you spoke out against it, you were not going to find much people that would openly agree with you. Things are different now. There is a very large, this is what gives me, the only thing that gives me hope still is there is a large amount of people that are waking up to this that are just seeing all the lies and are done with it and they don't want it.
You know, I think the one thing, if there was one thing that might be able to bring people together or provide some clarity, would be 9/11 truth. What really happened on 9/11?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Good luck getting that. You would need your, you would need a government that isn't just nothing but crooks, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I agree. That was kind of the idea that I had, and a lot of people had, was that if you just expose the truth to people, rip the Band-Aid off, force red pill everyone, job done. And I still agree with that, but you need some support in government for that. But one thing I will say before the break's coming up, I've been watching from Florida, and I am really proud of you and Harrison and Alex and the whole crew here, because through all this, we really have, once again, been just about the only real source of media that's telling it from all sides and isn't just throwing out propaganda and pro-war stuff. And, you know, it makes me proud.
Yeah, I've been proud of that, too. And really, it just shows, once again, our loyalty is to the truth. And I think it's shown so many people out there that might even be truth tellers, but their loyalty at the end of the day is not to the truth.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. My loyalty is to the truth. Truth and love. That's the only thing I think that's going to make this world a better place, is to put these two things as our priorities in life.
All right. Greg Reese making his return to the InfoWars studios. He's got the long flow now. I've heard it could be a rumor, but now it's proof positive. He's going for the Bannon look. Is what I've heard.
Well, I gotta eat some more.
You gotta also wear maybe three polos, I think, at once too.
Yeah.
It's great to have Greg Reese back in Austin. He's gonna be part of my sending off going away party. It means a lot. Well, this is a family here, and you and the audience are a part of it as well.
Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 disappeared on March 8th, 2014. On May 19th, about 9 weeks later, a leaked video was published to YouTube by a third party who claimed to have received it on March 12th. The video shows what appears to be a jet airliner on fire, being trailed by three spiraling orbs. Eventually, the three orbs change to a vertical pattern and disappear in a flash with the airliner, leaving a dead-end trail of smoke in the sky. A month later, on June 12th, a second video was published to the same channel that showed the exact same event taken from a different viewpoint. These videos have been deleted from YouTube, but can still be found on archive.org. Ashton Forbes and his team have been researching these videos extensively and have provided exhaustive evidence that these videos are legitimate, including digital forensics verified by CGI professionals, eyewitnesses, and government data. Forbes and his team have successfully addressed all debunker claims and have listed them for all to see on X.com at Just X Ashton. So far, nobody has been able to debunk this research. Their research shows that the first leaked video was taken from a pair of American signals intelligence satellites known as USA-229. Twin satellites capable of creating 3D stereoscopic images by capturing two slightly different views. The twin USA-229 satellites are logged at the exact location, time, and apparent angle required to have captured this video. This event occurred at around 2:30 in the morning. It was completely dark. The wavelengths captured by these cameras are for detail, and the stereoscopic effect allows for added depth perception. The source of the second video has been identified as an MQ-1C Gray Eagle unmanned combat drone with infrared and thermal technology. This video focuses on the heat signature. And the man responsible for leaking these videos seems to be Lieutenant Commander Edward Lin. He was accused of being a spy, but court transcripts prove that this was just spin. The details of his crimes, including the time they happened, are redacted. But it came out in the trial that the classified information in question was published on the internet, and Lieutenant Commander Edward Lin had full security clearance to the same technology used to capture these videos. Using Inmarsat satellite ping data and military radar to track its path, and eyewitness testimony to verify it, Forbes put together the final flight path of Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. On March 7th, at 1642 UTC,
Flight 370 takes off from Kuala Lumpur International Airport. At 1721, the plane abruptly turns back towards the nearest airport in Penang. A witness on an oil rig reported that the plane was on fire. Several witnesses along the East Coast reported hearing a loud bang and seeing a glow coming from the plane as it passed overhead. At 1752, the co-pilot's mobile phone pings the local tower. At 1840, an eyewitness on a boat reported that the plane was glowing orange and appeared on fire. The Inmarsat ping data shows the same sharp left turn that we see in the videos, and then abruptly goes to zero as the plane disappears. The CCP released Chinese satellite images that appear to be three orbs. They first claimed it was debris and later said that releasing the image was a mistake. According to Chinese media, 19 families have signed a statement claiming they made calls that connected to missing passengers after the disappearance, but without an answer. Some people are saying this was alien UFOs saving a plane from crashing, but this doesn't explain the fact that three different advanced U.S. military surveillance cameras captured this one event. 23 of the passengers on board were related to Freescale Semiconductors, a field leading the development of superconductor technology, which is what this appears to be, some type of superconductor targeting system for teleportation, which is reminiscent of what the Nazis were doing with their highly classified Die Glock project. Luminous objects like this were first reported in May of 1940 as Germany invaded Belgium. And by 1942, several people began reporting them, starting in the skies over Germany. American pilots during World War II called them Foo Fighters. And let's not forget Gary McKinnon, who in 2002 was accused of perpetrating the biggest military computer hack of all time, and who claimed to have seen evidence of an advanced off-world military fleet. Greg Reese reporting.
If I owned a restaurant, I would want to have the best, most delicious, healthy food at the most affordable prices where I got the biggest crowds in. So you had a great experience. You want to come back 100 times and I make money and I'm successful. You have a great time. You get treated right. I get treated right. That's a community. So let's say it again. People really responded to this truth. I've been on there 30 years. I've had gold sponsors for 28 years as sponsors. Only two companies, because if you want a numismatic, they'd sell it to you, but they would try to sell you gold and silver bullion with, you know, 10% markup or whatever to pay their bills and do it. And that's very fair. You barely do it. I don't know how Kirk does it at 8% with his crew and his everything and the quality and the marketing, but he does it. So he's paying for marketing and running his crew and doing all this stuff for 8% and no charge to sell it back. Everybody else does that. It's such a good deal. It's very frustrating. I know we have millions of people watching every hour, and a lot of folks are calling. He's getting thousands of calls when he comes on. That's great. But it needs to be tens of thousands of calls. I mean, this is so simple. In a world of fiat, you at least want to have a hedge that's in silver and gold. And if you look at what's happening, I am only going to try to push something that I believe I would personally do. And that I personally do. I mean, it's real simple. Do unto others as you would do unto you. That's the golden rule. And Christ said, actually, you need to go further, lay your life down for others. But when everybody's like that, you live in a great society because nobody's really having any problems. Everybody's a badass. Everybody's willing to sacrifice. So it is a no-brainer to call them, do a consultation, and get into silver right now. And if you want some gold, you know, maybe get an 80% silver, get some gold. But I think he's dead on. You would be all silver. That's what's going to go up, obviously. That's what's undervalued. Then you get the gold once it skyrockets, which is already happening. So you need to go to KEPM.com/gold. That's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals. KEPM.com/gold. And then InfoWars gets the support. Or you can call 720-605-3900. And listen, if enough of you went there, because he does his sponsorship off of what percentage he gets, we could get reporters back, expand, do anything. I mean, already we would not be on air right now if it wasn't for his sponsorship. He takes us over the top to be in the black. Not much, but a little bit. And so I appreciate the crew staying with us through all this hell. It's been wild. We're still here by the grace of God, but you need to support this sponsor. It supports what we're doing. Plus, it's the best deal, the best company, the highest ratings. It's so simple. Call him now, 720-605-3900.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
A video of an emotional woman on a plane saying that the man next to her was not real goes viral.
That motherfucker back there is not real.
This is followed by multiple videos of people claiming to have witnessed the man's eyes wink from side to side.
When he winked at me, and it was his left eye looking back at me, it didn't wink like this. It winked like this.
It didn't like this. It was almost like his pupils winked. It was like from like this way.
A video from 2022 falsely claims that it captured the event. And while it all goes viral, many of us can smell the nonsense. A Freemason with 300,000 followers on TikTok releases a video claiming to be the actual man from the plane.
So we're attempting to fly out of Dallas-Fort Worth, and then basically this woman, she sits next to me, and she's clearly been drinking. I'm minding my own business, and sure enough, she sees my hoodie that has this Freemason logo on it. And on top of that, she noticed my ring, so she started to ask questions. Nothing dramatic, just asked me, do I know what these symbols mean? Why am I wearing it? What's the purpose? Yada, yada, yada. And long story short, I basically just say, hey, I'm a Freemason. Next thing I know, she basically starts to grill me about low-level Freemason and that it's all Satanism and that it's ruled by reptilians and blah, blah, blah. So I simply put my hood up and I started to ignore her and basically just mind my own business. So moral of the story, don't believe everything you hear on the internet.
You cannot believe anything you hear on the internet or anywhere else for that matter. And there are two main reasons why this all went viral. First off, the story of reptilian humanoids living among us goes all the way back to the beginning of recorded history. The oldest official writings on Earth are the Sumerian texts. They describe a reptilian race that genetically modified human beings with their own reptilian DNA. All three of the Abrahamic religions describe a reptilian race of humanoids that live among us. The story of the Garden of Eden in the Torah, wherein Adam and Eve were created in the image of the Elohim, reptilian beings known as the Nahash began breeding with Eve so that they could be more like the Elohim. According to the Torah, these Nahash were obsessed with genetic modification and still live among us today, where they feed off a substance called afar, which is the same substance that human beings are made of. In the Christian Bible, this creature is described as a serpent in a tree. In the Nag Hammadi, early Christian Gnostics wrote of a race of creatures known as the Archons, described as a reptilian humanoid. These Archons fed off of humans, including negative emotions such as fear and anger. The Quran also has writings that describe reptilian creatures who live among us, known as the jinn. The Australian Aboriginal people have traditions and paintings that date back thousands of years, depicting a rainbow serpent creator god. And about 10,000 miles away, the Aztec Mayan serpent gods Kulkukan and Quetzalcoatl are also described as rainbow serpents and were believed to have created human beings using their own DNA. This is found everywhere. The Druids of England called it Hakpen. The Romans called it Glycon. In Africa, it was Niami Niami. In Egypt, it was Apophis. Many royal bloodlines have claimed to be descendants of these serpent gods, such as Alexander the Great of Macedon, Emperor Jimmu of Japan, and the Dragon Dynasty of Media, now known as Iran. The Nagas serpent beings of India are believed to still live among us in underground cities, and the Hopi Indians have stories of underground cities that are home to thousands of lizard people. Modern science supports the idea that humans have been genetically modified in the distant past, and neuroscientist Paul MacLean introduced the triune brain model, which is based on an evolutionary view of human brain development, the reptilian brain being the most primal. This is where our fight or flight response comes from. It is the home of our lower ego mind. If we are part reptilian, then this could explain why we are so flawed and why we have Jesus to show us how to behave. Which brings us to the second reason why this all went viral. The reptilian brain craves attention and distraction. Anything to avoid looking at one's own flaws. But the only power that we really have is the power to change ourselves. The power to raise our own consciousness. And for every person who fails to do this, the world is left with another mentally ill person, adding to all the chaos. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All right, there was a story over the weekend that went pretty viral, but leave it to me to notice what others don't. And so here's your report, clip 26. An individual who worked at an airport was able to steal an airplane. That's right, steal an airplane. Here's the report in clip 26, and I'll tell you what they didn't notice as we go to the report now.
It was August 10th, 2018. Richard Russell, also known as Bebo, clocked into work at SeaTac Airport at 2:36 p.m. You see him here briefly showing his badge to TSA. He walks through the employee security checkpoint. He's wearing a black t-shirt that says the sky's no limit. He grabs his backpack and continues. After this moment, 5 hours go by, according to the FBI report. It's unclear what he was doing for this time. Around 7:15 p.m., he arrived with a tow vehicle at the cargo area at the far north end of SeaTac, known as Cargo 1. Air traffic control started to sense something was not right when trying to make contact.
The dash 8 on runway 16 center, say your call sign.
That's Russell on the left side of your screen in the tow vehicle. He's got complete control over the aircraft. You can see him release the plane from the vehicle, and the plane starts rolling forward. He really only has a few seconds to start running towards the door of the plane. Watch him as he opens the cabin door and jumps in. He pulls the door back up very quickly.
Seattle ground, horizon guy, about to take off. It's going to be crazy.
More pilots started to chime in, and then it became clear something was definitely wrong.
Sorry, you need to call and scramble now.
Russell can be seen taking off in this new video. Several angles show the Horizon airplane leaving ground.
There's an emergency situation going on, and FAA Tower's not accepting any aircraft right now, not letting anybody depart.
While up in the air, Russell continued to radio in.
Hey, I found myself in a bit of a predicament. I'm in the air right now, and just kind of soaring around.
At one point, he said he was going to check out Mount Rainier. Down below, all aircraft held from taking off.
Just kind of freezing everybody at the moment.
An hour and 13 minutes after taking off, Russell crashed the plane on a remote Pierce County island, ending one of the most serious domestic airline security breaches since 9/11. The FBI ruled his death a suicide.
Pause it right there. What do I see there? What do I see on the screen here, guys? No. What do we see on the screen here, guys? Come on, how does everybody miss this? You're overthinking it. No. There it is. It's plane wreckage. It's plane debris at a plane crash site. There it is. Okay. Let me see the... Wait. Let me see the... There it is. There's the plane debris. That's it. That's it right there. At a plane crash site, there's plane debris. I see it. I see it now. Why am I making a big fuss over this? Have you figured it out yet, folks? Where was the plane debris in Pennsylvania on September 11, 2001? There was none. Where was the plane debris on September 11, 2001 in the Pentagon? There was none. You could even see where you could even say where was the plane debris at the Twin Towers? Well, okay, maybe it all blew up. That's a different story, though. Plane crash, plane debris. You had it at that story. I don't know why that video went viral, but it did over the weekend. But I noticed there's actual plane debris. Patrick Halley is about to join us in the next segment with a big announcement. But Patrick, did you see what I look at? It's plane debris, Patrick. At the side of a plane crash, there's plane debris. Patrick, how do I explain this? I can't figure it out. I was told there's a plane crash. There is no plane debris. It's just, there's none in Pennsylvania. There's none in the Pentagon on September 11th.
Where's Rumsfeld? He was like Rambo. Remember, he was saving people and, he was saving the day.
I mean, who would have thought
plane at the Pentagon?
Who would have thought plane debris at the site of a plane crash? Not on September 11th, though. That's amazing.
I've not been this excited ever. Woo! Yeah, Mug Club, baby. Wow.
The replatforming begins now. Join Mug Club and get 1 month free with promo code Alex at JonesCrowder.com.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored? That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.